Tipping Yerushalmi Sanhedrin on the beginning of Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis in the Art Scroll pagination. And it's at the very top of the page, just reminding you that Rabbi Meir allowed the disqualification of the other judge, but he said only in secular courts of Surya, but not in a Din Torah. In Din Torah, you pick your judge, you don't get to, each one picks their judge, you don't get to disqualify the other judge. Now, the implication, by the way, is that once you pick your judge, you can't disqualify your judge either. You can't say, hey, wait a second, I thought you're my advocate. What are you doing here? So we discussed it quite much at length last time, the Peshitta of Rashi and Bavli from the various Achronim about how to guarantee a good outcome. Not only a good outcome, but that the litigants themselves feel they got a fair hearing. Okay, so that was Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan says that even in the Din Torah, you can disqualify the other person's judge. Right? Remember I told you when we started the Gemara last week that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi significantly diverge on this and this sugya, because in the Bavli there's no disagreement between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan at this point. And Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis in the Bavli, They both agree that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan agree only to passel in secular courts, but not in the Din Torah. Okay. Now let's talk about when you take someone to court. What's the jurisdiction? Let's say I live here in New York, so I live somewhere. I'm taking someone to court who lives in California. Right. Where's the Bezdin?
Yes,
do we go in Minnesota? Do we go in?
Nitzah has the right to.
We'll discuss this.
The one who's being sued.
The defendant.
All right, that's true. That's true. Second question.
But let's see what's happening in our. It might depend on what's a closer court, a more prestigious court. Let's see what. Okay, hey, Chamrim, train b'nei nash. What do we do when there are two b'nei nash, two men? Enosh Barnash. Havalon Din Ba Antochia. They have a Din Torah in Antioch. Okay. Omar Chad L'Chavre. So one litigant said to the other, Madra of Yochanan Amar Mekabel Alai. Whatever of Yochanan says, whatever he says about this, the whole jurisdiction, the whole, whatever is about our case, I find myself, whatever of Yochanan says, I'm Mekabel. Now, last week, if you recall, we said that two litigants can agree on any kind of even extra legal matter. In other words, let's say you want one of the judges to be your father. It's if I think that I'll get a fair hearing from your father and that he's judicious, we can
agree.
Even though in other cases, outside of civil cases, relatives can never testify for or against an event taking place. I think. Correct me. I mean, you have some law.
Yeah, a little bit.
if you're driving with someone, the passenger, I don't think, is allowed to be a witness to the accident.
Actually, I was once.
Oh, yeah.
I was the passenger, and the police officer stopped us for speeding, uh-huh. And I testified in court that we hadn't sped. I was the passenger. I don't know if it's still illegal in every state, but in that case.
Okay. All right. So that's an interesting. It's your word. Of course, you're going to. You're under oath, I guess. But one might think you're coming into the court. Okay, but you're driving in the guy's car.
It was my girlfriend who was driving. Yeah, I mean, I was certainly very biased.
Yeah. Right, so the judge might say, the prosecutor might say, Your Honor, he's obviously, he's no gebedaver. He's what? So he says whatever Rav Yochanan says. So we can make up you can make up any deal you want. Shamar Rav Yochanan, right? Rav Yochanan was of course alive. He goes, I'll accept whatever Rav Yochanan said, right? So Rav Yochanan just felt that he says Shamar Rav Yochanan umar lo kol kamine mitrifa baldine. Rav Rabbi Yochanan said that you're putting too much power in my authority. I don't have the koach to inconvenience both Balei Dinim to appear where, you know, in one place where I say it should be. Now, it's interesting. Here, Rabbi Yochanan, now remember, if we're going to see two different opinions in Rabbi Yochanan between the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi, we should side with the Talmud Yerushalmi. Because Stam opinions in the Talmud Yerushalmi, that scholarship on this is really quite a beautiful thing to show, that when the Yerushalmi just comes up with a Stam opinion, that this is what the Yerushalmi holds, it's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Right? Now, the Talmud Yerushalmi takes its current shape a good 200 years after Rabbi Yochanan, at least 150 years after Rabbi Yochanan is alive. But the Talmud Yerushalmi, it's pretty well known. The Rishonim say this, and not just scholars, is that the Stam opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. So the reason I'm just telling you this now is that in the Talmud Bavli, Rabbi Yochanan says he has more authority to determine exactly where both litigants should go, where they should appear, and I can force you to go there and you to go there. And here in the Talmud Yerushalmi, he goes a little lighter on them, and he says, I don't feel that I have this blanket authority to make you appear where I say you should. Let the local Beis Din figure out what's the closest jurisdiction from where you are, right? And let the rabbis call you from that local jurisdiction and let you hear the case in Antiochia. Okay? All right, so in other words, I, Rav Yochanan, say you don't have to come to Tveria where I am. I, Rav Yochanan, you said you'd listen to whatever I say. Say, don't come to me. Come to Antiochia.
Don't bother me.
I'm Rabbi Lazar. Ze amar b'Tveria, v'ze amar b'Tzipori, shomin leze shamar b'Tveria. Right? If there are two litigants, and one says I want the case to be tried in Tiberias, one says I want it to be tried in Tzipori. Right? So it should be tried in Tveria. Now that's a simple reason for that, because as you know that there were different opinions about whether Tzipori is part of. A little enclaves up the north that might have been outside of Israel even, but Tveria was a greater Makom Torah. I remember the Sanhedrin was Nick Goleb many different times to Usha and back and forth.
So the priority is to the place that has a bigger Makom Torah or the place that's inside Eretz Yisrael?
Well, Tveria was certainly both in that instance. So, but in Hanami, we can butt heads between one preference and another, but here it's very one out on all ends. Right? Shomen laze shomar b'Tveria. Ulolam ze posel v'ze mevi. And so back to Rav Meir, even the Balei Dinim pasul, the other ones dayan. Right? Okay, so obviously the problem is that if each one can possibly invalidate the other one's judge, this process can continue ad infinitum. Right? So he says, you have to keep bringing in more and more judges, or if one has the incentive to make this drag on longer and longer, and usually the nitba has such an incentive, let's keep it out of a decision longer and longer, I don't have to pay. Rav Zera says no, that's only with junior judges. If you have a newly minted musmach to be a judge, that's the only case where you can passel. But if the guy is a musmach and he is clearly so today we don't have such a thing. Only experts are judging in a Beis Din today. People who have been appointed to do so. And those people cannot be passed by litigants today, because the final conclusion is that it's only a tefela. All right. Okay. I'm a Rebbe Law. Okay. This is. Going to have a discussion here about whether a closer Beis Din or a more prestigious Beis Din takes preference. Okay? And we'll see a possible difference between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So let's see. Amar Allah. Hi, Demar, Rabbi Lozar, Ze Omer B'Tveria, B'Ze Omer B'Tzipori, Be'inun Dehavon Yesivin B'Chad Amashkena, Min Hocha Lohocha, Shiva Milin Min Hocha Lohocha, Tisha Milin. So he says that there is a debate over, the first case was one was 7 miles or 7 kilometers away, and one was 9 kilometers away. So, with respect to how far to travel, right, with these, the litigants were, Tveria was 7 mil away, and Tzipora was 9 mil away. So, for that reason, we would go to Tveria on that criteria, right? But that's, of course, only if both litigants are coming from the same place, right? So distance is going to be a factor. Convenience is a factor, according to this opinion. Let's read on another opinion, B.O.C. Vashmamina train, b'nei nash, if you have two people, have a lone din b'tveria, ze omer b'veiz din ha-godol, b'ze omer b'veiz din ha-koton, shomen l'ze shema b'veiz din ha-godol. So the Gemara just has this conclusion that you go to the closer one, and you go to the more prestigious one. Obviously, we have a problem. What happens if the closer one is less prestigious? So in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Yudalid, it says that we prefer the more prestigious one, unless the one who has to travel further makes a special claim of, you know, this further and this further. 2 mil is not something someone can make a credible claim is going to be,
He's totally ignoring what the Bavli says about the rights of the Nitzvah versus the
Doesn't show up. In other words, you want to take me to court, I say it's frivolous. Take me to court. You can't drag me across the country. I'm happy to have a Din Torah, but I disagree with the whole endeavor. But I'll appear before a court, but you can't drag me,
So the one who's farther, who would be dragged farther, who gets to decide?
Yes. Right. Unless the closer one is more prestigious.
Right.
Today, there are Bate Dinim all that have certain reputations. Some women feel that some Bate Dinim, that men get preferential treatment, and some, depending on the situation. When it comes to Gittin, there's a whole separate set of generalities.
There's a lot of Bate Din today that are not, Rabbanim or Paskening, as Dinitar that are totally incompetent. It's not a rare thing.
Maybe, be careful, we're on tape.
But I can say it.
Okay.
There's an assumption in the Gemara that it is crystal clear, which is the based in a greater stature.
Right, so the Gemara just gave one example here where someone said, for Rav Yochanan is in Tveria, that's the one I have to hear. Everybody knows you're going to get a fair, not just the fairest hearing, but you're going to get the halacha from that. It's on the assumption that the halacha will be fair. So, I find sometimes that in the question of interpretation of halacha, but sometimes there is just a jurisdiction issue. It seems to be someone's nogeya b'davar. It seems to be that this judge should have accused himself, for being only found out later that he's the uncle of the person who's who's behind some. Okay. All right, we're going to continue with the next Mishnah. Zeh posel edov shel zeh. Now we're getting... This is getting a little out of hand, no? How can you posel someone's witnesses? Zeh posel edov shel zeh, v'zeh posel edov shel zeh. Now... Yes, so let's talk about Zomer for a moment. Why... The beginning of Makos sets up the generalities of Edim Zomer. You all know what Edim Zomer is, right? Because Edim Zomer are not Edei HaKosha. And there's one clear way to make Edim Zomimim is to say two people come into court and say that A killed B on Monday. And if two witnesses come to the same court and say, but on Tuesday I saw that B was alive, that is generally pointing to some kind of lie that A told, right? Now, in such a case, the Jewish courts will say, why should we believe this second group more than the first group? What makes Edim Zomimim is that the Edim themselves become the object of new testimony. You see, Edei HaKhosha means I saw him on Monday borrow $1,000 from that person. And other witnesses say, I was with that person all day and we never saw him come near this person. So they're wrong when they say he lent him this money. That's not Edim Zomerman, because why should we believe these witnesses more than those witnesses? You see, when two witnesses come and say that I ate treif, and I say I didn't eat treif, so you can't say, well, you know, why believe him more than the witnesses? Because you're the object of witnesses. The only way a court can work is if we accept two. That's why we have two witnesses. We inquire of them separately. We interrogate them separately, and then, you know, we will accept them as if they totally pans out. So Edim Zomim is where the original two Edim become the object of a new testimony. The only way we make Edim Zomim is to say, you could not have seen what you say you saw, and here's why. We're attacking you, not the testimony. Right? There are all kinds of ways to attack the testimony. Right? So, with that in mind, we can start to explain what's going on in this Mishnah.
How about the standards of stuff fossil edus? So it's not Zmama, it's not Edim Zomim, right? But if this person wants to bring Edim, and I
very next Mishnah, cool, yeah. You know what's coming up. This Misake Pekuvia is coming up right away. This is the top of the next. Yeah, maybe we'll get to it today.
Go ahead.
So he says, Zepos Ejiv Zeh, Zepos Ejiv Zeh, Div Rabbi Meir. Now, what do you mean? How can you just pasul Edim without Zomim? Chachom Romim, Eimosai, Bizman Shehu Mevi Alehen Raya, Shein Krovim Absulim. Right, so there are all kinds of ways. I'm sure the way we have these expert lawyers today, slugging up cases out of, you know, the thin air, I'm sure they had them then too. You know, you claim that I owe him $1 million. Well, guess what? One of your witnesses was at I don't even know the name of a casino. I got
Trump Casino.
Okay.
if you have the idiom, and you have to believe them. I mean, if the idiom come and say, "We saw you eat treif," I mean, surely the court can say, "Well, he would never eat treif. They must be lying. They must be mistaken. They must be confused. Right? He would never eat treif."
The courts won't accept testimony from people who have a bad reputation and have, you know, going to find out about them. They don't just let any stump two people walk in. Think of what a court system will have then if we don't have experts who, they're not going to check their pulse and see if they're telling the truth, but they go through a general, you know, system whereby we have to be as sure as we possibly can. Without a lie detector test, that the truth, at least the truth, is coming out here, and then we'll have to interpret, you know, a final decision based on what they say they saw.
Edus is pass fail. They're believed or they're not believed. It's not in modern times. It's more shades of gray. Sorry, you may believe them a little bit. You may believe them not so much. You know, if you're
you've got two sets of
witnesses.
It's a very different than we're used to. It's either they're accepted or rejected, and also witnesses always have to worry about the pall that's over their head, that every word out of their mouth will boomerang upon them. If they're shown to be fabricating anything,
only if they're shown.
As
long as they're in the right place at the right time, they can lie all they want. There's no real. There's nothing that's going to happen.
Well, as long as they're not. Now, Edei HaKhosha does not turn the boomerang upon them, but the Gemara does tell that people never want to leave court with the reputation that they came and were.
Right.
Not even if not so maimed, hakhoshed.
John and I are here at the Shir right now. If we were tomorrow to testify, you just now ate some chazetreif, We're not Zomerman. No matter, you know, we may be lying through our pants, but we're here. Nothing, you can't do anything to us.
Right. The worst thing can happen is that two other witnesses will come and makhish that.
And, you know, that.
And, yeah.
Okay. We came first. But, I mean, I guess, I don't know what
that... Yeah, okay. Reputations are at stake here, and there are all kinds of other things. So there's such a thing, the court of the minds of the community that will come down on people who frivolously...
And they say, we'll just throw everybody out?
Well, when
there's contradictory testimony,
yeah,
they'll all thrown out.
Right. What they'll do is they'll hopefully in the Drisha and the Chakira and other things like that, they'll come to.
But we're experts at liars.
I would never testify against Rabbi
Shmuel. He's my bro. let's try to figure this out. What did Rabbi Akiva think? What was going on in his mind when he said, if I was in charge of the Sanhedrin, no one would ever die? So no one would ever get the death penalty. And notice they didn't say, okay, there will be a plethora of Mechalei Shabbos and adulterers. They just said there will be lots of murderers. Right? Because apparently, you know, there are lots of death penalties in the Torah. Right? Why didn't they say kidnappers? Or, you know, so... Apparently, you know, Rabbi Akiva, on the heels of saying, you know, God will chaviv ha'adam shenivra b'tzelem, says the guy who's being killed in the court is also b'tzelem alukim. Here's the point. I always can find a loophole or some kind of psul in the edus, but I will only do so if I feel that I can rehabilitate this guy. You know, look, if someone killed in front of witnesses and you can have some kind of magic ball to determine that this guy is going to be a great Rosh Hashiva and he's going to be a great asset to society, that's not enough to prevent him from getting the punishment he's supposed to get. Unless someone is as deft as Rabbi Akiva at finding some holes in testimony will get him off on some kind of technicality. There are lots of good lawyers like that, you know, who get paid lots of money from very guilty people. And well, I'm not supposed to say that, but
you know. The glove doesn't fit.
But they were worried that, listen, Rabbi Akiva, if it's Chaviv Ha'adom Shenivra B'Tzelem, they're just so worried about that we shouldn't kill a Tzelem Elokim in the courts. So. Well, they didn't say we'll have a lot of adulterers and kidnappers. Dafka said we'll have a lot of murderers because other Tzelem Elokims will die because of this. And his response was, not if I am, you know, I would never do such a thing unless I was sure that another Tzelem Elokim wouldn't suffer as a result. Okay, let's just read on a few more lines here.
There are other ways to stop besides killing him and find him innocent to the extent that he doesn't have to have Mrs. Bezdin. It's still machnisin asav kufa or whatever one of the other punishments in life in prison instead.
Yeah, yeah. There was we do say precedence for incarceration. It's not a very common punishment, but we do see for Harav Shah.
Is that a rabbinical innovation?
We see it. It's mentioned in. I mean, there's a mishmar in this week's parsha. I'm sorry. It's Lavchod. I'm kosher. I'm assigning Shlach to Pinchas.
The Rambam has it in the Seder Bezdin.
No, it's a Gemara. The Gemara has what happens if someone is in jail and they say, and it's Erev Pesach, and it talks about a Jewish jailer. The jail is run by Jews or the jail is run by Gentiles. How can we guarantee that he can be included in someone's Karban Pesach with the likelihood that he will be allowed to leave to eat the Karban Pesach and then come back to jail afterwards? So the Gemara says if it's a Jewish jail system, so it's, we see from there that there was Jewish jail systems. Anyway, well, that, there's too many other things, but what's interesting is that the Rashi on that Gemara talks about what we were jailing people for in our time in France. First thing he writes is a man who doesn't want to give his wife a get, who we determine should be doing so.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And the Christian authorities gave the autonomy to the Jewish community to.
Yeah, I don't know if they. It depends on the jurisdiction, but. Jew was being jailed like that, he appealed to the Christians to say, you know what the Jews under your jurisdiction are doing? All right, but okay, that's a different discussion. Okay, so we said, okay, if you could bring a raya that of the psul that the very next mission is going to talk about, but if there's no psul, then you can't just possible witnesses. I found it's very interesting. I mean, this is in general Yerushalmi, is that the Bavli has full pages of discussion with tangents on this, and then the Bavli Yerushalmi is 5 lines, 6, 7 lines, just to gloss us over these inyanim. Which is fascinating because the Yerushalmi is where the main Bate Dinim are taking place, and then the Bavli had less jurisdiction on some of these issues. But let's see what's going on. Says the Gemara, Ze Postal Eid of Shalzeh, Reish Lakish Amar. Want to see where we are? Okay. So, Reish Lakish Amar, Keni Masnisa Eido Ha Eidav Lo. Now, this is such a departure from the Talmud Bavli. I should have actually taken out the page. On Daf Lamed Aleph, in Meseches Sanhedrin in the Bavli, Reish Lakish starts off the Gemara by saying, how could a holy mouth like Rabbi Meir say something so totally outrageous as that the litigants have the right to disqualify? It's one thing to disqualify the judge, but disqualify the witnesses? How could a holy mouth like Rabbi Meir say such a thing? Right? So that the Baal Din could possibly opposing hate. Right? Alright, so here he says, Keni Masnisa, Keni like yes, our Mishnah, Edo Ha Edo Lo. Right? Keni Masnisa Edo Ha Edov Lo. See, Zeposel. However, in our text, it says Eposel Edov Shelze. But basically, Reish Lakish's understanding of Meir, at least his version of what Reb Meir says in the Mishnah, is you can disqualify one witness, but not both. Disqualify one, and maybe another person will join the one that remains, but you can't disqualify two. Because when two witnesses speak, you become the object of testimony, and therefore your only way to break that is to break one of them. You can't break two, then you might, it's like saying, you say I did this, and I say, well, I say I didn't. Why should you believe them more than me? Because, buddy, you're the object of testimony, you have no say in the matter. You know what I'm saying? But today, they, you know, like, it's, you know, your word against mine. But when it's your word against two people, one of the reasons why we need two witnesses, right? Then it starts to become a trend. Three people, four people, seven people, eight people, and right? What's this all-star football player? I saw there was an article in last week's Sports Illustrated. Like 9 separate women came forth to say that he violated them in 9 separate instances, and each one he was exonerated one by one. But they said, to some point, how many? at some point, the trend becomes the smoke
except
is fire.
100 women don't count for diddly in a case.
No, you're mixing up things. And woman is excusing of an act, not that a woman is witnessing an act. That's two different things. Women are pasul eidos for a very separate reason, and that's the next mission we'll get to. We'll talk about what they have to do with testimony. But
yeah, he was exonerated because he's rich and famous and powerful.
Could be. But now the fact that Sports Illustrated wrote this article to begin with is just amazing. Forget it. His career is toast. So, but the point is that why did it have to wait till 9 accused him? Maybe stop at 2. Right?
3 at the most. Okay. I mean, at least 3.
Anyway, so Rav Yochanan Amar Afilu Eidav. Rav Yochanan says, why stop at 1? If you show that both of them are puzzle, why stop at 1? I'm not disqualifying testimony, I'm disqualifying people. Titani, La'olam Mosifin Dayanin Ad Shi Yigomer Hadin. So, we're talking about witnesses here, but he says that when it comes to the Dayanim, remember we talked before about is it possible that this will go on ad infinitum, keep on apostling and adding, and one side will make this continue, and he's, if it's his best interest to just draw out the case, right? But here he says that that we can be mosif dayanim until we come to an agreement to finish the case. V'hadayanim yacholim lachazor bahem, and the dayanim can, until the, what's called the gemar din, until someone hits the hammer on the table and says, shoin, that's the jritten mol, that's it, they can actually change, they can find a different angle for the case. Right? A judge, I mean, until they hand down the verdict, you know, the jury says, you know, we have to come to a decision, and someone says, no, wait, I just thought of one angle, all right, go back to the room.
Yeah, but here I'm thinking the case didn't turn out to be much more complicated than I anticipated initially. And that would be why the dayanim are calling in more.
Keep
and
bringing more, yeah, until someone shows a tzad that they didn't realize before. So nigmar adin, but once they come to a verdict, ein yichol machzor b'hem. Sorry, you can't be chozer. We'll see a story with Shimon ben Shetach. That's mamash. It's a pleiadic. It's in this parak. But how his son died because he couldn't be chozer on something. And people themselves admitted that they forbid. The verdict was made. That's why in Pirkei Avos, remember what Shimon ben Shetach says, be very zealous in the chokir, be chakirim, making a chakir on the edim. What is that doing in Pirkei Avos? I remember I talked about it last year. I wrote it in my notes. I never talked about this Mishnah in all my 25 years of teaching Pirkei Avos. Because what is Pirkei Avos? Make sure to check the witnesses. That's Pirkei Avos.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Why is it there? Yeah.
Because in the story in the Yerushalmi that we're going to learn shortly, because he didn't check the witnesses pretty carefully, his son died. Mm-hmm. We'll get to what we're saying. Okay. Modir of Yochanan, Shem Ein Sham Elohein, She'en Yicholin the Poslon. That he says that if you live in a town with no other judges but these, don't passel them. What are you going to do? If one litigant doesn't like this case to go to full trial, he'll just passel the witness. The judge, okay, can't do it. There's no one to judge it. Fine. Omar Zira, V'hu ve'achad min ha'shuk mitzdarfen lefsol edus zeh. So, Rav Zeira, what's he adding to this discussion? Right? And so, I mean, because, first of all, we can't be talking about what witnesses are doing. This is a cloud gadol in testimony. While a judge may be able to see a different side and say, I thought of this, until the verdict comes through, but there's a cloud gadol in testimony. Kivin Shehigid, right? Familiar?
Chozer
Umagid. Once the witnesses say what they said, you're stuck. You can't come back and say, no, he paid me money to say that. I don't want to... Sorry, you're not amazing. That's my Rasha. They tell him that. They tell him that before. Are you sure this is what you want to say? Because you can't go back on this. Right? This is your testimony. You want to think it over and make sure that you want to think in your mind that that's exactly what you saw and that's exactly how you want to interpret what you saw. Because there are all kinds of different angles and different... Yeah, sure. So, what it means is that the judge can change until the very end. And then Zira says, he and one person from the marketplace, from just outside, starfen lefsol edus zeh. Right? Amazing. One Baldin can mit starif with another to pasul. For what purpose? Not to throw out the case. Here's the point. This is a bav mitzia point. It's a bav mitzia point. Simple bav mitzia point. One witness. If I come into court and I say, you lent him, you borrowed $1,000 from him, and you deny that. One witness. Oh. But I can force a shvua midrabanan upon a person to just get yourself off very easily. Just take an oath. I swear I didn't borrow $1,000. Sure. Not too many people like to swear. Some people, but all right. But one witness can force an oath. That's what this can do. In other words, you can take it from two to make it one. But so he still has to take an oath.
What's the zero of
one remains. Sure. If he knows someone else who can possible him. Litigant knows that he's a crook, he's a gambler, and another person in the shuk. In other words, I have to bring testimony that he's a gambler. How do I know? Because the two witnesses are some gamble. I signed someone else. Now, we'll see, the Gemara will talk about some cases where we allow, like the people who are Nogea B'Davar. You ever hear of some of these things? People Nogea B'Davar to be one of the witnesses. There's some famous cases of Ploni Ravani, Ritzoni, Ploni Ravani, Shiloh Ritzoni.
Pogin and Dibura.
Pogin and Dibura, right. In other words, we accept his testimony that he engaged in homosexual act with another man to apostle him. But you apostle him yourself. And another Mesa Matzma Russia. So Pagin on Dibura, we accept half the part that says, you know, I saw what he did, you know, and I know what he did, and then the other half that says. Okay, but anyway, let's just finish to the Mishnah. Chemina boy, the ein eda chod zokako the shvua mikol makom. So that's the bar mitzvah issue I just raised. Okay, so however, the Bavli says there's a totally different nafkamina, not a question of this is asked as a question. Ein eda chod zokako, surely that's the difference. You can one eid can make him make a shvua. The Bavli says there's a simple difference. It's where two litigants agree to be judged by one person. You can do that. You write down in advance. We two of us agree to abide by the arbitration of this one judge. In such a case, if the two litigants agree to it, then that's the case of one. Right? Amar Bzira, Pasul Tzarech Lipasul Beizdin, Karav Ein Tzarech Lipasul Beizdin. If you want to pasul him because he is a he's a psul, he gambles, he sells shvi'is products, whatever we'll see in the very next Mishnah, you have to bring two witnesses and you have to do it in court. But if you want to bring a raya that he's, you can't do it. That's his brother-in-law. You don't have to go to court to that. Just get the rumor in the street. Amar Rav Barbina b'shem Rav Shloshek Gmar Din. When three, however, come to a decision, then that's that.
Three in a bezin of three, or three in any size bezin? I imagine only in a bezin of three.
Agreement of three.
This whole section has been jumping from Edus to Dayan and back.
Yeah.
It's not clear to me.
So here's welcome to learning Yerushalmi. Mm-hmm. Yerushalmi is very very choppy. It hasn't had the 100 more years of development of the Talmud Bavli. Right. This is perhaps the most the Art Scrolls is putting out now is just with Shinu Nuschos. This is really quite well done. But the texts themselves are sometimes corrupt. You could learn a whole sugya and then change the whole development of the sugya because Korban Ayda has a different nusach, or the Vilna Gaon has a different nusach.
So, is everything really here talking about Dayanim? And even when it says Edus, they're really referring to Dayanim?
Some differences between the Bavli and Yerushalmi on this, yes, but when we don't put down the halacha when it's no gay, way the other.
But in this section, talk about Dayanim, then we talk about Edus, then we talk about Dayanim again. At least that's the verbiage.
So the previous Mishnah was Dayanim, this Mishnah was Edus. Our Gemara, however, right, the previous Mishnah talked about apostling the Dayanim.
No, but just this Gemara. This stretch of the Gemara.
Another point, by the way, is that in the Talmud Bavli, it's the same Mishnah. And then the Gemara, so you know, you can mix up comments on the same Mishnah. Here, at least your pagination is the same way. It was broken up and then a quick succession of Mishnahs.
Yeah.
So, we think we saw that profoundly in the first parak, in the Talmud Bavli, the whole Mishnah, straight through, the first page of Sanhedrin, and it goes on to the bottom of the next side. In the Talmud Yerushalmi, it's a couple of lines, Gemara, a couple of lines, Gemara, and it's all over the place. But Moshe, it's somewhat mixed up, but you can see when it's talking about... It's a bigger chiddush to pasul the Edus than to pasul the Talmud Bavli. Rish Lakish's reaction was incredulous that Rabbi Meir would say such a thing. Here he just talked about the difference between pasuling one and two.
One or two Edim.
One or two Edim.
But then the whole question of Achen, you know, Le'olam Mosifin Dayanim Achen Yigmar Hadin, that has nothing to do with being Selda Aegis.
So here's the thing. It's a you can agree to abide by what might otherwise be Pusel Dayanus, in other words, my father, your brother. So, because I think I'll get a fair hearing, even though it's your brother. I heard he has a reputation of always giving the right verdict. So, but then if I find out also afterwards that he is he's a gambler, in other words, I accepted something that I took upon myself to abide by, you know, according to my my agreed upon treatment. So, but then I find out something afterwards that I didn't know before. He should have told me that he's fundamentally puzzled. And I find that out, so I can bring, if I bring a raya, so I can.
Actually, Mark did. And then if you find out after the din has been
said,
and then you know that then you find out that the judges really were corrupt.
Sorry, yeah. That'd be taken care of in the next time, but yeah, you're done. Okay, we have the next Mishnah is actually still extrajudicial, but then comes the Masachet Bekuria. So we'll get that. Next Mishnah talks about that case of allow your father to be one of the judges.